Tonight, as you can see, I'm not Pastor Merrick, and as most of you, I think, probably know, he is gone. And so be praying for him. He's in Australia, I think, doing a Bible camp, I believe he said, when he first got there. So pray for him as he visits with the cars, that him and Mrs. Merrick will have a good and a safe trip. Fourth of July is always, I like the Fourth of July. I like patriotic songs. I like patriotism. I like being a patriot. And I think we should be. We don't have a perfect country, do we? But we still have, I think, the best country. I wouldn't want to live anyplace else, you know, if I had the choice. And people have the freedom to do what they want to do. And if somebody doesn't want to salute the flag or stand up, they have that freedom. I just don't know why anybody wouldn't want to. You know, why would you not want to honor your country that's done so much for all of us? And so anyway, I'm not preaching on that tonight, but it just irritates me sometimes that some people's attitudes towards our flag and towards our country and our Constitution. And anyway, so after that, I'll say, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to look at just one verse there, and then we'll be looking at quite a few other verses tonight. I want to just talk about God's truth tonight. And verse 24 of 1 Samuel 12, this is after the people had desired a king, and so God had allowed them to go ahead and have a king, even though that was not his best wishes for them. And so Samuel, of course, anointed the king, and after that, the people had realized that after Samuel talked to them that they had not done a good thing, and it's really been a sin against God to choose a king. And so he scolds them a little bit about that in the preceding chapter here. But when you get down to verse 24, he tells him, he says, "Only fear God and serve him in truth with all your heart, and for consider how great things he hath done for you." Father, I pray tonight that you would bless the preaching of your word and that it would accomplish what you want it to be accomplished in our hearts tonight. I pray that you'd be with Pastor Merrick and Mrs. Merrick and for their safety as they travel and flying and back and forth and travel around the country there with Brother Carr. Help them to have a good Bible camp and just a good time of fellowship with the Carr family. And bless the service here tonight now in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many truths in God's Word, and we're not going to look at, obviously, all of God's truths. We just want to look at the kind of the shell of truth and just learn a little bit about it. When we get to the end of the message, I'm going to just give you a question to contemplate, and I hope that all of us will look at that question that I ask and answer that question at the message that and the things that we preach about truth will put us in a frame of mind to be able to do that. Concerning God's truth. Now, there are many biblical truths. There are some truths that you know, not in the Bible. There's things that are true that are not scriptural. You can't drive a car very far on a flat tire. Now, that's the truth, isn't it? But I don't think the Bible says anything about that. You can eat a piece of coconut pie, but you won't like it. Now, I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth right there. And the Bible doesn't say anything about that. But if the Bible did say something about coconut pie, I'm pretty sure it would say, "Thou shalt not." I just feel like that's what it would say. But there are truths that are just obvious truths, and it doesn't really make any difference. There are people today who think that everybody just determines their own truth. Now, when it comes to coconut pie, that would be okay. I mean, if you like coconut pie and that's true, and you say, "If I eat a piece of coconut pie, it's just blissful." Then I say, "If I eat a piece of coconut pie, it's disgusting." And so what's true for you is not true for me. And that's okay for us to differ on that. But when it comes to God's Word, anything that man says is true that is in conflict with what the Bible says is not really true. Man's truth never supersedes God. God's always supersedes man's truth. And so when it comes to more important things, that as far as living, then of course we want to look to God's Word to find out what His Word says to determine what is truth. And the idea that everybody just kind of decides what's true for them is a really bad way to go. And it's a dangerous way to go, and it's harmful to our country and everyone. Now, as I was thinking about this message, and I'd been thinking about this thought really for some time, I couldn't think of really one scripture that you could go to and just say, okay, we'll just go to this one passage and stay right there and learn all we need to learn about God's truth. I think you have to kind of go through the Bible and pull in a lot of different scriptures to get a good picture of what we want to look at tonight as being God's truth. So with that said, we did read this one verse, but we'll be looking at quite a few other verses. And if you want to look them up as you go along, you can. I wrote them down because sometimes I can't find things as fast as some people, and so I didn't want it to be a silent space while I'm trying to find. I forget what it was. There was one. I was teaching a Sunday school lesson. I was looking for I had a verse, and I could not remember where that book was in the Bible. I don't know whether it's just old age or whether it's. I think it's I don't think it's old age. It must be something else. But for the life of me, I could not remember where. I don't know if you ever had that happen to you or not, but it's kind of embarrassing, you know, because I know all the books in the Bible, and I was trying to think, and it takes a good while if you start at Genesis to get all the way to Habakkuk, you know. And so I didn't want to have that happen tonight, so I wrote my scriptures out here just in case I couldn't find them. And so what is God's truth? If we're thinking about God's truth, obviously the first thing we need to understand is, you know, what is God's truth? What are we talking about? Samuel told the people there, he said, to serve and fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. And a lot of times we read a verse of the Bible, read a verse or a passage of Scripture, and if someone give us a piece of paper and said, okay, now write down what that mean. You know, just think of this verse, serve Him in truth. You know, what's that mean? It means something. And God tells us we're supposed to do it. And so we have to have an understanding of something about truth where we would be able to write something down on that piece of paper as to what it means. We have to have an understanding. And what is God's truth? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 is the first verse I want to mention. Verse we're all familiar with, but the Bible says there, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. And so God's truth, first of all, God's truth, it's a couple things we're going to look at. The first one is that it is pure. And when we talk about the kind of purity that is talking about here, it's a kind of purity that is without spot. It's totally incorrupt. There's not one speck of corruption in it. It's free from anything that is improper. Webster's dictionary says that truth just means purity from falsehood, which is a pretty good definition of God's truth. It's totally pure. It can be totally trusted without any error. You don't have to put it under a microscope to find out if there's something wrong with it, because there's nothing wrong with it. So you don't need a microscope to check out God's word. If God says something, it's pure. And it's without fault or without error, and you won't find anything wrong with it. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 4 says, the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. God's word, it says, is right. The word right there actually just means to be means true. It means just the perfect standard of truth. When God says that the word of the Lord is right, it means that God's word, God's truth, is the perfect standard for truth. The perfect example of what truth is. There's no, if something's right, it's not wrong. And so God's word is right. There's nothing wrong with it. It's free from any error or any problem at all. Anytime that we feel like there's a problem with some truth in God's word, it's not because there's a problem with the truth. It's the problem with us. We're the ones who got the problem. And if we think that God has a problem, then we're certainly off on the wrong way of thinking. And we're not going to come to the right conclusions or probably make the right decisions about things if we have that attitude towards God's truth, that there could be a fault in it. Then the second thing, not only this just kind of basically gives a little of that. What is God's truth? God's truth is pure, it's right, it's perfect, and we can't get any better than God's truth. The value of God's truth, Psalm 119 and verse 72 says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." The value of God's truth, if we're going to get from God's truth what we need to get from it, we have to understand what it is, that it's perfect, that it's pure. But I think we also need to understand just how valuable it is. And it's not just a fleeting thing. It's not just a thing amongst other things. You know, there's nothing to compare to the value of God's word. He says it's more precious than gold and silver. And I suppose, you know, I don't know the mind of God, but it would make sense to me that the reason God would use more precious than silver and gold is because that's one thing that's pretty precious to folks nowadays, isn't it? Silver and gold. And so that's kind of at the top of the list of what people think about or what people put value on. And so if I guess we could put it this way, if you had the Bible here and say, okay, here's the Bible, and over here's a 20-pound sack of pure gold, and you could have one or the other, but you could only just have one. You know, wonder what a lot of people would take. You know, I think a lot of people would say, well, that, boy, 20 pounds of pure gold, I don't know how much that'd be worth. A couple of dollars, wouldn't it, at least? I'm afraid a lot of people would choose that gold. Hopefully, no Christian would, but I wouldn't be surprised if there might not be one or two even Christians would say, wow, that's a tough decision. You know, and they would put more value on that sack of gold than they would on the Word of God. And why would we do that? Why would anyone take that 20 pounds of gold versus the Bible? Is I think that one reason is they don't realize just how valuable the Bible really is. God says it's worth much more than gold and silver. But a lot of people don't understand that, and because they don't place the right value on God's word, then it's not going to be a priority for them in their life when it comes to choosing something else over the word of God, or becomes more important to them than in the word of God. When it says there in that verse in Psalm 192, 72 that we just read, that the law of thy mouth, talking about God's mouth, is better, the word better just means it has qualities greater than anything else. That the Word of God has qualities that nothing else can even compare to. It means when it says better, it means that it is superior to whatever else it's being compared to. And that's an important attitude for us to have if God's Word is really going to guide us through our life, and it's going to direct our life, and we're going to make decisions based upon what the Word of God says, then I think we have to come to that conclusion that the Word of God is better than anything else. You know, the Word of God actually is better than any advice somebody else gives you. You know, and people can give good advice. Sometimes people give us good advice and helps us. But when you get right down to it, there's nothing better than the Word of God. And that because it is once in a while possible to get some bad advice, but it's never possible to get bad advice from God, because God's word is pure, and it's without fault, and it's better than anything else. When people give you advice, you always want to take it, that old saying, with a grain of salt. You don't ever have to take the truths of God's word with a grain of salt. You don't ever have to have, there does not have to be one, even the slightest amount of doubt about any truth that we learn from God's word, and as there would with man's word. Psalm 19, verse 8 through 10 talks about the value. It said it's to be desired above gold, that God's word is to be desired above gold. It doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say there's anything wrong with gold. It's just when gold is more important to us than the Word of God. when we think gold is more precious or more valuable than the Bible, then we've got our priorities backwards. And so it's to be desired above gold. When you desire something, that means you usually when you desire something, you really want it, you know. And so, I mean, every once in a while, I desire a donut. And that means I really, when I desire it, I really want it. And it means that if I have the chance, I'm going to stop someplace and get one. And since I'm retired, I may just take off in the morning and go get one. Because I don't, you know, because I desire it. You know, it's something I want. And when it comes to God's word, it should be something we desire as well. In other words, I don't know all the truths in God's word, but I should want to find out more of them anyway. As I go through my life, I should want to learn about as many of them as I can that would help me in this life and apply to my life. The value of God's truth, Psalm 146 and verse 6 says this, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, talking about God made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is. And he says, which keepeth truth forever. The word keepeth in that verse, God says he keeps his truth, that it, in other words, it lasts forever. That makes something that lasts forever, we would have to say that's pretty valuable when you have something that lasts forever. We wish we had more things. Most things that we're in this life anyway, they don't last forever. They wear out and break down and have to be replaced, don't they? But God's truth, it says, lasts forever. That makes it much more precious even than gold. And the word keepeth in that verse just means that God guards his truth, he preserves his truth, and he protects his truth. Now, it doesn't make any difference how many people stand up and say, well, I just don't believe the Bible anymore. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have anything to do with it, whether it's true or not. You know, just because a person or a group of people come to this conclusion, in whatever way they come to it, that something in God's word is not true, doesn't change the fact of the truth of it. And someday every person that has denied the truths of God's word and mocked God for his truth, one day every knee will bow before Christ. And one day all the deniers and all the haters of God, I wish they'd all get saved, don't you? I don't want anybody to go to hell. But there's going to come a time when they're going to have to face the God that they've denied and that they've hated and that they've made fun of and they've mocked in their life. And so the value of God's truth for us, I mean, that should mean a lot to us. Hey, God's truth is forever. You know, I don't have to worry about the next year or next month or if I live a few more years to come to the place where all of a sudden something in God's word is not going to be true. It's going to be true forever. And so it'll be true for my children, my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren if the Lord tarries. It'll be true for them. It just as much as it is for us today, because God's going to guard it and preserve it and protect it. That's what that means. And so the value of God's truth, it's more precious than gold. It's something we should desire, and it lasts forever, making it more valuable than anything we can imagine. Now, where can we find God's truth then? So we probably already come to that conclusion, but we're going to look at a couple of thoughts about it. So what is God's truth? It is perfect. It is pure. It is without mistake. The value, it's one of the most precious things that we can own on this earth is a copy of God's word, and have it in our home to read it and look at it. So where John chapter 14 and verse 6, we probably all know that verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Where can we find truth today? I think one of the reasons that there's a lot of effort by some people anyway to try to remove Jesus from pretty much anything is that because Jesus is truth. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, it's going to change your life. And you're going to see some things about yourself that are not so pretty, you know, when we get close to the Lord. But if you want to find God's truth, and if I want to find God's truth, you will find it in a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just a Sunday morning relationship, but I mean an everyday relationship. A kind of relationship that when you're laying in bed and you wake up at night, you think about the Lord. The kind of relationship that while you're on the job, you think about the Lord. When you're driving down the highway, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't ever think about anything else. But it just means that you don't just think of the Lord on Sunday at church. And so a close personal relationship with God, because the more you know about Jesus, since He is truth, the more I know about Him, the more I'm going to know about truth, because He is truth. And so John 17:17, Jesus said that thy word is truth, talking about the Bible, talking about our Bible. And so the more familiar I am with Christ, the more I know about Him, the more familiar I am with my Bible, the more truth I'm going to know. Because God's Word is truth, and Jesus Christ is truth. And I don't think we have to say here, but when we talk about the Bible, we are talking about the King James Bible. And so some of you leave here someday, and some of you young people go off someplace. Don't listen to anybody that tries to push it off on you that the King James Bible is not relevant for us today. It is. It's the only Bible it's the only Bible for us that speak English. That's our Bible. And any other translation, I don't think, is going to do you any good. It'll do you more harm than it will do good. So, but the more I know about the Word of God, I don't have any trouble when I read something that says thee, thou. It doesn't, people just throw, oh my, that's so confusing. No, it's not. That is ridiculous. If I say, how are thee doing? Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's not, what's confusing about that? You know, and so, but people don't want to believe something, try to make what's simple, to make it confusing, to push their agenda. The truth is going to be found in the Word of God. Then I want to spend just a little bit longer, maybe just a few more minutes on a thought. What should my attitude be then towards this truth? This truth that God's truth that is pure and perfect, that is more precious and more valuable than anything else that I could even imagine on this earth, and the gold, all the gold in the world would not be worth more than our Bible. I know I can find it by having that relationship with Christ, a close relationship with Him, and by reading and studying and learning and meditating on the Scripture. And so after I understand those three things I've just mentioned, what should my attitude be towards the truth, towards God's truth? Look at John chapter 2 and verse 22. You can look at it, or I'll read it to you here. But John 2 and verse 22, when therefore He was risen from the dead, talking about Christ, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. One of the first attitudes we should have towards God's truth is that we should believe it. And the disciple, the word believe there just means to trust or to have faith faith in it, that there's no doubt. And so when I believe the Scripture, I trust it. You know, I have no doubt that what it's saying is true, even if I don't understand it. I say, I don't understand what that's saying, but it's true. I know it's true. And I pray and I hope God will help me to understand it as He wants me to. But even if I never understand what that verse says, I know it's true. I believe it's true. And so our attitude towards God's truth should be, I believe it. We never should approach the Scripture with a doubtful countenance or a doubtful attitude and say, well, I wonder if what I'm going to read today is really true. No, we should approach the Scripture with, I don't know what passage of Scripture that'll come up in my Bible reading today, but I believe it. I don't have to read it first and then believe it. I believe it before I read it. You know, you may have a recipe that you want to try, And you may want to try it first. If your wife says, "Hey, honey, I got this new recipe." You say, "Don't you believe it's a good one?" I might want to taste it first. But when it comes to the Bible, that's not the attitude I should have at all. I should never have the attitude, "Well, I'll have to read that chapter first, and then I'll decide whether I believe it or not." And, of course, what that means is, if there's something in there I don't like, I'm going to say I don't believe it. You know, and that's kind of my excuse for not paying any attention to it. It's really what it amounts to. But our attitude towards God's Word, first of all, should just be to believe it. And that means, as I said, even if we don't understand, we believe all of it. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's not man's word, it's God's word. Then the second thing our attitude should be towards God's word, not only should we believe it, but we need to embrace it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." That means God's truths, we need to wear it. You know, like it's round our neck. Something that's wore around your neck, everybody else can see it. And so God's truth should be something that we should wear in public. It's not something, you know, that we conceal it, or we hide it, or we don't want anybody to know, even that we're a Christian. That's we're supposed to wear it. Not in a, I don't mean in an arrogant, proud way, but we should not be ashamed of God's truths. And if sometimes we get in a conversation with somebody and they're saying something that's not right, or maybe asking or trying to push, there's nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, well, wait a minute. What about what God says? Let me tell you what God says about that." And then share kindly a truth from God's word. But we shouldn't be ashamed of God's truth. And there are some things today that actually, you know, you can kind of get in trouble sometimes for just telling the truth. But the truth is still the truth. And we may have to be a little careful maybe sometimes how we share it. I'm not saying just go around on the rooftop just blasting out everything maybe that we believe and knows to be the truth. And you have to use maybe a little discretion. But I think as opportunity arises, we shouldn't be ashamed of the truth. And we should wear it around our neck. That's what he's saying there. Just wear it and live it. When he says, "Write them upon the table of thine heart," it just means to memorize it, to know what it says, to put it in our memory, to put it in my mind, the mind of my memory, so that I don't forsake it. When it says, "Don't forsake, let mercy and truth, let them not forsake thee," it means don't loosen. To forsake something means to don't loosen it. Don't relinquish it. Don't leave it. Don't put it behind. Don't compromise it. And so I could compromise with somebody over a coconut pie. Now, I wouldn't compromise to the point that I would eat it. That's going a little too far. I draw that red line in the sand there. You know, but I would say, yeah, you can. If you want a coconut pie, go ahead and eat it. You're probably going to get sick, but I'm just warning you. But it's okay. If you want to do that, but there's some things that you just don't compromise on, and that's God's truth. If God says this is the way something is, we don't compromise on it. No matter what the culture's doing, and the culture is just like a yo-yo, isn't it? I mean, it just up and down and back and forth, and God's truth is just steady, steadfast. No matter what generation we live in, God's truth is still the truth, and we need to not forsake it. We need to embrace it. Another verse in Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." What's he talking about there? When you buy something, you own it. And that's what he's talking about. And when he's saying buy the truth, he says own the truth. You buy it, make it a part of your life. Make it real in your life. And then when he says sell it not, he says you don't ever surrender it. You don't ever turn loose of it. You may share it with somebody else, but you're not going to give away your truth. You're going to keep it for yourself too, because it's God's truth. And so, in other words, to embrace God's truth means once you find it, hang on to it. And don't compromise it, don't change, no matter what others around us may do. And sometimes you kind of have to take a position, don't you? Sometimes you even have family members that think you're a wacko because of things you believe, you know, of God's truth. And so sometimes when you go to those family gatherings, you just have to eat your coconut pie and keep quiet. Because sometimes to say anything, you're going to start a big... And it's just not the right place sometimes to start World War III, is it, at a family gathering, and just try to be nice to everybody and get along. But we still don't compromise. If somebody puts us on the spot, well, okay, you backed me in the corner. I'm going to tell you now. Here's where I stand. Here's what God's Word says. And so we do that if we have to. But once you find it, hang on to it. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. And a lot of fads going on today. One of the things that it's kind of fearful in a way and scary the way fads affect people. But this thing with a lot of these kids making their speeches at school and then before it's over with saying that they're bisexual. That's kind of seemed like that's a fad. Everybody thinks it's cool to be bisexual now, it seems like. It's not cool at all. It's crazy. It's sinful. It's wrong. And so don't ever get caught up in something that's just become a fad because a bunch of other people are doing it or a bunch of other young people are doing it. Be like a David and just go out and slay the giant, you know, and not stand back there shaking in your boots with all the other brothers that wouldn't go out and fight. I mean, he took a stand, didn't he? And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to do it all alone. And then another verse in Psalm chapter 86, verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." So not only do we want to find the truth and hang on to it, to embrace it, and to not let anybody take it away from us, but we want to learn, have a desire to learn and to obey it. We're going to believe it. We're going to embrace it. And then we want to learn and obey as much of it as we can find it out. The word walk in that verse, when he says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth," it just means to follow. Walk just means to follow. When you walk, what do? You take a step, another step. You take repeated steps. You just keep taking steps if you're walking. If you're standing still, you're not walking. If you're laying down, you're sitting down, you're not walking. When you're walking, you're moving. And you're taking steps and moving forward. And he says, "Lord, teach me thy ways." And the word to teach there means to point out to me. God, inform me of your truth. Teach me your truth. Point your truth out to me so I'll know what's way to walk. And so I can walk in thy truth. In other words, don't sit down, lay down, or back down when it comes to God's truth. Just keep walking in God's truth. Down the path that God has put us on. And when you think of walking, if somebody's walking backwards, I don't think of that as walking. If you're walking, you're going forward, you know, with your eyes in front of you. And so walking, he said, to love God's word, to teach me thy word so that I can walk in it and move forward with it. Psalm 119, 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Another attitude we should have, not only to believe it, embrace it, to learn it, but we should love it. And we understand, don't we, what it means to love something. Some of you guys love that big buck, you know. You love your fishing rod and the fish that you can catch with it. Now, maybe not the same way that the love here, but it's something you really like. And so we should love God's commandments above gold. And when he says above, the word above there means to something that is before. It's in a higher place. It has a higher priority. It's ranked higher than other things that we said earlier that it is compared to. And so go ahead and love your buck and your moose or whatever it is. Love your fishing rod and your pole. Just don't love them more than God. I mean, they should not even be close to the love that we have for God. And so it should never be something we have to sit down. I mean, we shouldn't. There are some prayers that are really just really silly. I think we mentioned this one time, but it would be silly to pray, God, should I go hunting this morning or should I go to church? God's just, I don't know for sure what God's doing. I can just see God up there going, oh. You know, can't you? I mean, I don't know. That's just not a good prayer to be praying, isn't it? That shows that our priority, that our love is not where it should be. It says, Lord, this is a good day. I'm going to go to church. And Monday morning, Lord, could you help me just get the biggest moose that anybody ever got? But I don't want to kill the biggest moose at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Because when you go to eat it, you're liable to choke. but we need to love God above and his commandments above anything else. Then one other verse when it's talking about our attitude is that Psalm 119, 162 says, I rejoice at thy word. 1 Corinthians says 13:6 says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So not only should my attitude be that I believe God's truth, that I embrace it, that I learn it, obey it, that I love it, but actually I rejoice in it. The word rejoice just means to be cheerful, means to be glad, to make joyful. So when it comes to God's truth, it should be something that makes me pretty happy. You know, God's truth should make me happy. It should make me joyful. I should enjoy God's truth. And if someday you need a little cheering up, maybe you just need to read a few of God's truths, because they'll cheer you up. And you rejoice in them if you got the right attitude. So those are some of our attitude. We need to believe God's truths. We need to embrace them, learn them, obey them, love them, and rejoice in them. Then what should we do then with God's truths? These truths that we know that are pure, that are right, that are more valuable than gold, that we have these different attitudes towards them that we've just talked about. What are we supposed to do with these truths? Well, we're supposed to live them. We're supposed to practice them. And we're supposed to put them into use in our life. Ephesians 4:25 says, wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. That just means that we're supposed to share God's truth with other people. To tell them, to talk about it. And when there's evil in the world, there needs to be some people that will come along and tell the truth. At least give people the opportunity to choose. They can choose the evil if they want to, but if some people don't even know what the truth is. They don't know the difference. They don't know there's a right and wrong about some things. And so there needs to be those of us that embrace and believe God's truths to be able to share it with them and to help them. And to pass it on. Psalm 78 is a little longer verse. I'm going to read this. Psalm 78 verses 5 through 7. Something else we should do with God's truth that I think that is lacking a lot. And he says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The word declare there means to tell something. It means to make it clear. In other words, he says, you need to make to your clear to your children the truths of God's word. To imprint it on their mind, in their memory. And it just kind of like branding their heart with it, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And he says we're supposed to do that. So that, why? So that they might have their hope in God. The word hope means trust or confidence. I'm supposed to pass the truths of God's word onto my children so that they will have confidence and trust in God. I can imagine that there are children today and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of people today that will die and go to hell because the generation before and the generation before quit sharing the truth. And they don't even know what it means to be saved. Great-grandma and grandpa knew, but they didn't pass it on. And it's been lost to that family. And so he's saying we need to pass God, not just salvation especially. We need to pass that on, don't we, to our children and our grandchildren. But other truths in God's word, to pass them along so that they don't get caught up in all these fads and these things that are going on today that we don't want them to be a part of. They need to know the truth about them. Because at some point, they're going to make up their own minds. And if they don't have a foundation or a basis to make up their mind, they're liable just to jump right in the pool with everybody else and just go downstream that everybody else is going down. Because nobody, they don't know any different because it hasn't been passed on. I tell you, it's important to pass on. Someday, those of us that are older, we're going to be gone. What's the next generation going to be like after we're gone? A lot of it depends upon what we are right now. Whether we're passing on to them the truths of God's word so that they'll be standing where we're standing right now 20, 30, 50, 100 years from now. There will still be somebody standing for God's truth. And he says, so that they might hope in God and not forget the works of God, to keep them in their remembrance, but to keep his commandments. And so we just keep reminding, we keep telling them about the truths of God's word. Many truths will be lost to the future generation because of the present generation doesn't pass them along by teaching and preaching them repeatedly and in its purest form. I mean, what's wrong with sitting down and telling our kids and our grandkids, here's what the Bible says about that. I had this thing come up at school the other day. Well, let me show you what the Bible says about that. They told me blah, 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 blah. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. And we've already taught them that God's word is true, that God's word is reliable, that anything that's contrary to God's word is false. And if they've already been taught, laid, that foundation has been laid, then when we sit down with them, when they start questioning something, then we sit down and show them what the Word of God says, they're going to be much more likely to, oh, I guess that teacher was wrong. I mean, it's not, that kind of ends the discussion right there when it's thus saith the Lord. And so we need to pass that on to the future generation, not to ever change or water down or delete any of God's truths. And then that brings me to the last thing I want to just take a few minutes. We've looked at quite a few scriptures that talk about truth, what it is, and how, our attitude towards it, how valuable it's supposed to be, and that we're to embrace it, we're to share it, we're to pass it on to others, live it in our own life. We could ask several questions. I just thought of a few. I've got one specific question to ask in just a minute. But we could ask the question, do I value God's truth above wealth, above myself, above my stuff, above my career? Do I value God's word above all those things? That'd be a good question to ask. Am I looking for truth in the wrong places? A lot of people are looking for truth today, I believe. And a lot of them are looking in the wrong places. That's why they're not really finding it. Because the real truth is in God's word. Do I have the right attitude towards God's truths? We've talked about what our attitude should be. Do I have the right attitude towards God's truth? Do I believe it even if I don't understand it? Do I believe it before I even read it? Do I embrace the truths that I do know and practice them in my life and share them with others and pass it on to the next generation? But the one question I want us to ask tonight And I've been praying that we all, including myself, would get something from this message that we could take and apply into our own life. When we hear preaching, that's one thing we should do. We should look for things that we can apply to our own life. We don't just come and hear a sermon just to put in our time so we can say, oh, well, I've given the Lord my time today. No, we should come with the attitude of receiving something and getting something. Sometimes we may need some encouragement. Maybe we need convicting. Maybe we just, whatever it is that we need, that should be what we're looking for. And so the question I want to ask you tonight is this. Is there any truth in God's word right now that you're ignoring? Is there any truth that you are arguing with God about right now, that you're wrestling with, that you're trying to get God to change his mind about, to agree with you? Are you trying to hide from or rebel against any certain truth? Now, I've not mentioned during the message, I haven't mentioned any specific truths so much that might be the answer to that question. Because I believe that right now probably the Holy Spirit maybe already has spoke to somebody and give you a specific truth that fits what I just described. Because sometimes, even though we've been in church for many, many years, sometimes there's a truth along the way that we're running from, that we're hiding from, and that we've been ignoring. Something we know that God spoke to us about, and we've just tried to put it on the back burner. That kind of truth that when the preacher announced what the scripture he's going to be preaching out of, he said, oh no, there's that thing again. That truth that I've been not wanting to really hear about, now he's going to preach on it again. The funny thing about that is a lot of times when you have that attitude towards some truth of God's word, that even when the preacher preaches on a verse that doesn't even apply to the truth that you're having to deal with, it seems like he is. Have you ever had that happen? Because the Holy Spirit can take the word of God and use it to bring into our heart whatever we need. So that's just what I want to say as we close tonight. I just want you to ask yourself that question. And is there some truth that I'm not paying attention to that God's been talking to me about? And if there is, then there's only one right thing to do. And that is, if I've been ignoring God or arguing with God or trying to hide or rebelling against God concerning some truth, the only right thing to do is tell him, God, I'm sorry. I've been wrong. You've been trying to show me something or tell me something, and I've been trying to hide from it and run from it. And I just want you to forgive me. And say, God, help me to embrace the truth that you've been trying to get me to embrace, that I've been trying to avoid. You think that'd be a good idea for us to do that? That'd be a way for us to keep walking, that'd be a good step forward. So we're going to have a verse of invitation, and if you feel like you need to respond to it, I hope you will. Maybe you need to respond in some other reason. You say, well, you, Brother Auger, you're just making it too specific. Because if I come forward, everybody's going to say, oh boy, I wonder what kind of problem he's got. I wonder what he's running from. Which would you rather do? Leave here knowing you've done what God wanted you to do, or knowing you've done what somebody else wanted you to do? You want to please God or please what other people think? We're not going to ask you what you come forward. It's because it's not our business. But I'm just saying, if we're hiding from some truth in God's word, if we're going to move forward, we need to take care of it. Would you do that tonight? Let's stand together. Miss Jessica is going to just play on the piano, and if you feel like that God spoke to you, then it's your time now to do whatever that you know God wants you to do.